has to pay the bill. So God's people have paid the bill. And we are current. We are not in the red. We are current. We can keep the bills paid, and God continues to pay the bill. So we are here to tell you that the Fellowship Tract League is dependent on God's people, and that's about as long as I'm going to talk about money. And but it does take money to print the Word of God. But we are so cost-effective that we can print 5 gospel tracts for a penny. But when you print them by 125,000 per hour on our web press, you know, that means that we do it as cheap as possible. And we are grateful that we have 2 web presses that are capable of printing 250,000 tracts per hour when they're both running. Now, we don't have enough funds coming in to print that many tracts, but we have the orders for them. And the orders, even during the pandemic, are still coming in, only not quite as heavy as they were before, but it's picking up again. So we praise the Lord for that. So we have 3 full-time missionaries like myself that go out. And so I started out as a layman. Then, after a while, I got the title of evangelist. And then, after evangelist, I got to be a pastor, and now I'm a missionary. But all of it is same thing all of us are, Christians that love God, and all of us ought to be concerned with getting the gospel out. Can you say amen right there? And so I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians before we go any further, and I'm going to prove to you that all of us are missionaries. Aren't you glad you come to church tonight? Ephesians chapter number 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Ephesians. And it follows Galatians. It's about there in the middle of the New Testament somewhere. Ephesians chapter number 4. And I'm going to talk a little bit about your pastor. I'm going to talk a little bit about me. And I'm talking about all the preachers that preach the gospel and are pastoring churches. Their main responsibility is what we see in chapter number 4 in Ephesians, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for this reason, verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So if we look at that scripture right there, for the perfection of the saints, with me. Saints. Say it with me. Saints. You saved tonight? You're a saint. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Who's in the ministry? The saints. All of us. Aren't you glad you come to church tonight? So I'm going to stop preaching now and go to meddling. So how many of you had the opportunity to do a little mission work today? And you gave a gospel tract to somebody. How come I get so quiet when you ask that question? Well, listen, aren't you glad that you only have God to answer to? But it's really not that difficult. I carry these kind. Anybody read and tell me what that says? Nobody, huh? What about that one right there? What about this one right there? That talks about hellfire, inferno. Them are Spanish tracts. They're the easiest people to witness to. In fact, Mary and I, for sake of time when you're traveling, we go to those restaurants where you can just walk in, sit down, and eat, you know. And we felt a little bit funny today because anywhere in the United States except South Dakota, my, there's such restrictions. And Pizza Ranch is another one that's a place where you just walk in and eat. But man, in Minnesota, they'll serve you now. They won't let you go in and grab it. But in Rapid City, we was able to go in there and help ourselves. And right next to us was a half a dozen Mexicans. And I walk up to him and I says, "Dios la bendiga." And he says, "Igualmente." What's that? Same to you. And I held up some of these and, and I start passing them off. You know what they say? Gracias, amigo. Mexicans, those Spanish-speaking people, are much more appreciative for the Word of God than what the American people are, the English-speaking people. Are you listening? So if you want to be effective witness for the Lord, and you don't think maybe you can talk that good, why, you just hold up one of those Spanish tracts in front of them, but they'll take it. In fact, I had one come walking by the church one day. I picked him up, and he was cold, and it was in the wintertime, and he wanted to come to the church, and he warmed up, and I went over to our track rack, and I stood there in front of the track rack, and he stood there in front of the track rack, looking at the Spanish tracts we had there, and I pulled out "All This I Did for Thee" in English, and "All This I Did for Thee" in Spanish, and he couldn't speak English, but I just pointed and grunted all the way through. And when I got through, he pointed at the decision they wanted to be saved. Make a long story short, I took him to a restaurant, and he listened to the whole service, and even though he couldn't understand anything. But I went to a store, and I knew there was some Spanish-speaking people at the store, and I thought, I'm going to find out if he really got it. So a lady was come walking out of the store, and she happened to be a Spanish-speaking lady, and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I know there's a lot of Spanish-speaking ladies in the store that work here." I says, "Are you, do you speak Spanish?" "Oh, yes," she says. I says, "Well, I think I led this fellow to the Lord, but I don't know. Could you translate for us?" And she says, "Well, praise the Lord, brother. I'm saved. I'll find out," she says. So they started in, just going at it. And I'm waiting patiently. Pretty soon she looked at me. He got it. He didn't get it because I had to speak Spanish. We underestimate the power of the Word of God. He got it because he read the gospel as I read at the gospel at the same track, and he read it in Spanish. And he got it. And how many times don't we walk by people in Walmart just going 100 miles an hour? And we don't carry no gospel. Anybody here carry Spanish tracts? We're going to leave about maybe 1,000 of them here. So you'll see them out there and you'll think, I remember what that fellow said in the track league. You can put some in your pockets. And you can be a witness to those folk. So tonight we're going to talk a few minutes about the significance of the Word of God. Now, we looked at that scripture about how all of us ought to realize that we are all missionaries. Now, I'm going to put a few other verses. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And so another one, Hebrews 4:12, "The Word of God is quick and powerful." We already quoted that one. So we underestimate the power of the Word of God. Just this past Wednesday night, a week ago tonight, we got to be home. And when we're home, we get to go to our own church. And so afterwards, I was visiting with one of the friends there that I said, "Say, I've got some copies of the broadcast." I said, "You ever heard the broadcast?" "No, I'd like to hear it." I said, "I'll get you some copies." So I walked out to the truck to get him some copies. And he was walking with me. And there was a black man sitting on the bench in front of the church. And anyway, someone else told me that he was sitting there for quite a while. And he was an encyclopedia salesman or something like that. He sold books. And he's been covering this area. And he's waiting for his boss to pick him up. And anyway, the neighbor, who's a saved guy, gave him one of our Fellowship Track League tracts that says, "After death, what?" He had it in his hand. And I walked by him as I was headed for the truck to get those CDs. And I says, "You know what you got in your hand?" "Yeah, I've read it 5 times since that fellow over there gave it to me." I thought, he read it 5 times, just quiet. And I says, "Well, here's another one. You can read this one too." So I handed him one of our tracts. And then I went and got the CDs for Joel and visit with him a little bit. And so about 5 minutes later, I went back over there. And his boss still hadn't showed up. I said, "I'm going to go talk to him." And so I said to him, "Did you understand what you read about that after death what?" "Yeah, I did." He says, I'm concerned." I says, "You are?" "So that's good. What about the tract that I just gave you?" "Yeah, that one too." He says, "Tells us how we can know that after death we can go to heaven." I said, "Do you know that?" "No, I don't." He said, "But I want to." You know how that came about? From that gospel tract.
And so, isn't it something that I get to be in the church 1 week later and tell you about it? I mean, it was just like picking fresh fruit.
And I said, well, I can go back over this with you, and I did. And it says, if you'll just do what it says. You see, well, he didn't know how to pray, he said. But I says, you know, God knows so much about you. In his Bible, he says, even the very hairs of our head are numbered. So he knows all about you. Then I gave him that scripture, John 6:44, how he draws us to salvation when we hear about how Jesus went and died on the cross for our sins. He said, I understand that. And I said, well, then you have to be real, genuine to God. And I didn't make it easy for him. In fact, I was maybe trying to talk him out of it. But no, he wanted to be saved. He wanted to know for sure. He wanted to be saved. And some of the fellows come out of church that was late ones. Jack Shuler preached Sunday night at our church, and we were still there. And he says, I seen Brother DeLange. He says, out there, he says, so several of us start praying. And the guy, 15 minutes later, bowed his head. And I prayed first. And I says, well, you've read the tracts. You know what to do. I says, you've got to realize you're a sinner and ask God to save you and be willing to turn from your sin. We call it repent. And he started praying all by himself. Hadn't prayed before. And he went right down the line. Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I thank you for these little pieces of paper that told me how to be saved. And bowed his head and asked God to save him. Now, fellowship correctly does not drop people once they pray like that. All of them are sent a letter. We get over 1,000 letters every year from all over the world. So we follow them up. We followed up. I followed up this fellow as best I could. He lives in Cincinnati. But the letters that we get of people being saved from reading a gospel tract, they are given an opportunity to enroll in a discipleship program. How many have ever heard of Rock of Ages Prison Ministry? All right, Rock of Ages Prison Ministry partners with us. We send, if they got saved in the prison, we send them the letter, send them the address, and then they're offered to be enrolled. And then there's another church in Kentucky that follows up as well, and they are offered an enrollment to learn more about the Bible and discipleship. Some of you are getting discipled today. Some of you are getting discipled tonight. Say amen there. Because God's dealing with some of you already. You know how I know that? Looks on your face. Preachers can tell that, can't they? Looks on your face. Because all of you can pass a tract. And it's no excuse if you don't think you can talk. Get to the Spanish tracts. And then if you learn that one phrase, Dios le bendiga, that's God bless you. Dios le bendiga, that'll pick up their ears. And then you hand them something in their language. That's all you need to do there. So I just happen to have some of those letters with me. So would you like to hear some of them? Sit up straight, put a smile on your face. Amen. I got a smile on my face this evening when you're talking about that Methodist that became a Baptist. That's good. Did you hear about that preacher that was taking a walk with his wife? Someone will say you shouldn't put that in the middle of a message, but I'm going to tell you anyway. This preacher was taking a walk with his wife, and this couple had a basket. And in the basket, little boy. The little boy had the basket. That's what it was. Your wife had the other box, that too. The little boy had the basket. And what you got in there, son? He says, I got some Methodist kittens. Methodist kittens? Really? Yeah, I got some Methodist kittens. Anyway, his wife, I guess, started thinking about that. And a couple days later, they said, let's go back by that street, see if they still got them kittens. Maybe we can get one of them. They went back over there and they asked if they still had their Methodist kittens. And he says, no, we ain't got no Methodist kittens anymore. He said, they're Baptist kittens. They all got their eyes open. Oh, dear. I should have done that before time before. But, hey, we can be serious and still have a good time being in church and still be challenged to serve God to a greater capacity. Say amen right there. Listen to this. From Lamech in Central Africa. Dear brothers in Christ, my name is Lamech. One day when I was walking along the road, I found a tract laid on the road. I sent chills up and down my back when I read that. Here, printed in Lebanon, Ohio, a tract makes it all the way to Central Africa, and it's laying on the road, and that man picks it up. He says, I found the tract laid on the road, and when I took it up and read it, I got interested with it because the tract title said, God Says, Please Do Not Go to Hell. It's an English-speaking nation. Since that time, I surrendered my life to God. Then I went with that tract to 8 friends of mine, and they accepted Jesus Christ, too, after they read the tract. Would you please send us some of these tracts? I found out you print in other languages. We'd like them in English and Quechua, so that we may share to others. I will be praying for Fellowship Tract League. Sincerely, Lamech Nawawala. I don't know what that does to you, but that excites me. The power of the Word of God laying on the road. I have a friend, Carl Woodbury. Carl Woodbury's in heaven now. I was his pastor the last years of his life. He says, the Word of God is so underestimated. He says, you can put a gospel tract underneath a newspaper in a dresser drawer for 20 years. And someone can find it and read it and be saved. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Listen, this one, you need to hear this one. How late can I go tonight? You start. What time do you usually stop on Wednesday night? Be honest now.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock? That's the latest?
No.
No. Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what. Usually we can look at the people and see if someone's looking at their clock. Anyway, if you're still interested and would like to read, have me read a few more letters, I'll do it, okay? This one, you need to hear this. I was a member of the Jehovah's Witness Church, but one day while walking downtown, I found a tract. I think it was on a windowsill or something on the street. I picked it up, I read it, and I bought a Bible, believed in the Savior, repented of all my sins, I got baptized, and now I walk in the light. It's been 9 years. I have friends that are Jehovah's Witnesses that have come to Jesus, but I would like to win a lot more. Can you send me the tract if you still print it? 3 lies that the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you in Christ, Gilbert. He finds, you know what? We print in 90 languages, and we have about 85 different English tracts. So he finds the English tract that says, 3 lies that Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you. Is that God or what? And he could have been any tract, but that's the one he finds. And he reads it, and he gets saved. And 9 years later, he thinks about sending it back to us. And we did change it a little bit. We changed the title to 3 Truths That Every Jehovah's Witness Should Know. And so it makes it sound a little bit better. But the inside is still the lies. And I thank God that the truth opened that man's eyes. Amen. Man, you're enjoying this, aren't you? Then listen to this one. Dear sirs, I greet you all. Thank you for this tract, all this I did for thee. This is to let you know that now I believe in Jesus, and I want him to be my Lord and Savior. I now know the Lord Jesus through this gospel tract from Fellowship Tract League, a missionary gave to me. I want to know more about Jesus. Please send to me more tracts. Thank you sincerely for your good work. Muhammad Bello. He is from Nigeria. Then he has a P.S. You want to hear that too? I was a Muslim, but I'm now a Christian. From a gospel tract. Why are God's people not carrying gospel tracts? I preached in a church of about 300 people. And I walked along. And that night I had good liberty. I went along like that. And I had to go about 7 or 8 rows up before I found a tract in somebody's pocket. If we don't carry tracts, we won't give them away. Now you say, what a coincidence today that you had
Spanish tracts in your pocket because I carry them every day. And so God's put me in the position to be an example. If you put gospel tracts in your pocket every day, God will give you a nudge when you see somebody that can speak. And you can tell it. They're just going 100 miles an hour. Amen? And do you know what? I have yet to have one turn me down. They're much more polite than the English-speaking world. You know where Manning, North Carolina is at?
Sounds familiar.
Pretty close to Sumter. You know where Sumter's at? It's right straight east of Sumter. My son lives at Manning. He and I went into the TSC, Tractor Supply. He needed a ball or one of those slide deals for his hitch. And there was a Mexican couple in there. And I walked up to them and I give them I get two different ones. And they said, gracias, you know, they talked English too. And they said, what's this? I said, this is in your language to explain to you how you can know that you're going to heaven when you die. We can know that? They didn't know that. And so after a little while, I bumped into them again. I says, how serious were you about knowing you're going to heaven? They wanted to know. I stood right there in the TSC store in Manning, North Carolina, and led that Mexican couple to the Lord with a gospel tract. Why? Because I had them on me. God's people are missing opportunities. We don't give English-speaking world, we don't give them out either because we don't carry them all the time. But that's one thing that I believe with all my heart God's called me to do, is to challenge God's people to be excited about the Word of God. It's just a few verses, but they're key verses that will change people's lives. And so you don't have a track rack there just for show. You have a track rack out there for you to gather up their tracks. So that same church that I was in, about 300 people, I said, man, that track rack really looks nice out there in the foyer. I said, I want to ask you now, don't lie. You wouldn't lie in church. How many of you walked by that track rack? And you got your supply for this week so you'd be able to be a witness for the Lord. Out of 300 people, I think maybe four or five raised their hand. We've dropped the ball. We deserve the kind of America that we have today because the Christians have been idle. We ought to be excited about, hey, people will listen. Oh, not all of them will. Oh, I get cussed out once in a while. I don't need that. Get out of here. I don't want that. But that don't happen nearly as often as people want to hear it. So, I talked a little bit about the Fellowship Tract League in the beginning, but not only has God called me as a missionary representative to tell people that, hey, we need funds to print the Word of God, and next time you have a mission conference, why, we have churches that support the Tract League as a missionary representative, as a missionary endeavor. And you see, if you support the Fellowship Tract League, every missionary that you support can order tracts from us free of charge. And no doubt it'll be in a language where they're at. And so I started out with money and I'm going to end up with money. No, I have got a whole big message here that I could preach till 8 o'clock. But I'm just going to briefly give you the titles of those that I wrote down. The Word of God is, number one, powerful. And number two, it's precious. I learned from the people overseas how precious the Word of God is. I need somebody that's all dressed up so I can grab the lapel on your suit. You come help me in there, okay? Set your Bible down. See, you shouldn't treat visitors like that. He won't mind, really.
Okay, my knees don't mind.
Stand right over there. I've got to give you this illustration. So it's powerful and it's precious. We sent over about 700 Bibles to Russia in about 1992. And a group of us missionaries went to Russia. And everybody that came to the meeting that night, they were promised a Russian Bible. and we had them piled up in the foyer. And when those Russian people come, and we had it advertised all over town, even on TV and billboards, and they come and they see them Bibles. And so many of them were excited because they were going to get a free Bible in their language. Anyway, this is a Russian Bible, okay? Anyway, afterwards, everybody disappeared. I don't know how many people were there. But after we dealt with 80 people that wanted to be saved, they ushered out them. There was somebody in the back giving out the Bibles. But one fella that was amongst the 80, he held back. And he wanted to talk to me. And so there was very few people left. So you're me, okay? And I'm the Russian fella. And he come up there with that Bible. He said, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming to our country. You see, he spoke English. They learn English in the school system in Russia. So he started in. And then he got excited. And you're me now. And you're me now. And he grabbed a hold of me. And he was like, thank you for coming. I just appreciate you coming and telling us about Jesus. And then give us a Bible. Thank you so much for coming. You can sit down now. You take the Bible with you. Okay. You know what? When you have things like that happen to you, you don't forget about it. He was so excited. He had a Bible in the Russian language. And to top all that out, he was one of the 80 that got saved. And most of them had never heard how to be saved. They hear there's a God. And you know what else he said to me? I forgot. He said, I heard about God, but I didn't hear about Jesus coming dying on the cross. And most people, they believe in a God. They hear about a God, but they didn't know Jesus. If I don't stop pretty soon, I'm going to make it till 8 o'clock. But anyway, I believe that the Lord allowed me to give you enough tonight to challenge you to serve God to a greater capacity. Amen right there. And I know it works because we was in a church in Arizona. This has been a few years ago. And in that church, I shared with folks, and I said it this way. And Mary said, don't ever say it that way again. That sounds like I'm a preacher. And I said, I want to share with you my wife's ministry. She said, don't say it that way. It sounds like I'm a preacher. Anyway, would you like to hear what that is? Well, how many of you get the junk mail that says, postage will be paid by addressee? You know, they want you to order a credit card or something. You can open them up, put some tracks in there. Does anybody do that here? Oh, look at there, four or five of you. Anyway, almost to the week, we went back to Arizona, and that lady said, when we were there, she said, I can do that. And almost to the week, we came back, and she had gotten the letter back. Because she took care of the mail that come at the church. And someone had wrote a letter back to the church that they had gotten saved reading a gospel tract. So as we travel, I think about that. Maybe there's some folks at the church in Custer. Maybe there's some folks in the church, wherever we're at, that sees their vision of doing something for God. But listen, you can do it too. Just get you a tract. And even if they don't take it when they're bumping up behind you to get out at Walmart, you can just lay it down and... Amen right there. It's powerful, it's precious. And I could preach a little while on Isaiah 55 and 11. How many can stand and quote that one? Everybody at once. How many heard that? God's word will not return unto him void. That's Isaiah 55 and 11. So it's powerful, it's precious, it's predictable. God wants to use you to get out of gospel track. God wants to use you to help us keep our presses rolling. And God wants to use you to win souls. We're all in this thing together. Can you say amen right there? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you.